at VOA1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Dan Friedel.
And I'm Katie Weaver. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak slowly, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. Coming up on the show, we have reports from John Russell, Dan Novak, and Gregory Stockel. Later, Jill Robbins and Dan Friedel present the Education Report. We close the show with words and their stories. Anna Mateo puts us through the ringer. But first,
Cameroon has one of the world's lowest amounts of healthcare workers per capita. About a third of trained doctors who completed medical school last year left the West African country. Many doctors and nurses are leaving for more well-paying jobs in Europe and North America, including Canada. Canada, like Cameroon, has official languages of English and French. After training as a nurse, Nivielle Lanoui spent almost 10 years in Cameroon working as a front desk worker. He was unable to find a well-paying job in the medical field. Last year, he applied for a nursing program in Canada. He now lives there with his wife and children. "They are stealing us from Cameroon. We want to work in Cameroon, but there is no pay," the 39-year-old Lanoui said. He said he would have earned less than $100 a month working as a nurse in Cameroon. Cameroon is not the only sub-Saharan African country where low pay is causing health workers to leave. The number of health workers increased in several countries after the COVID-19 pandemic. But almost 75% of African nations still experience medical worker shortages and high rates of healthcare workers leaving to work overseas. That information comes from a 2023 report from the World Health Organization, or WHO. The lack of health workers makes it difficult to deal with infant mortality and infectious diseases. It also makes it hard to provide services like vaccinations, said Machidiso Moti. He is the WHO Regional Director for Africa. Cameroon has fewer than 7 nurses per 10,000 people, the latest WHO data found. Neighboring Nigeria has more than double that amount. Canada has more than 14 times that number. Marie-Pierre Burel is a spokesperson for Health Canada. She told the Associated Press that Canada is facing its own health workforce shortages. The country has 30,000 nursing positions it needs to fill, says Statistics Canada. Burel said Canada follows the WHO's code of practice to make sure its recruitment of workers internationally is ethical. Ethical recruitment includes strengthening the health systems of developing countries dealing with medical worker shortages. Late last year, the Canadian government donated around $2.2 million to Cameroon's health ministry. It also delivered medical and monitoring equipment as part of Canada's global initiative for vaccine equity. But such support falls short of Cameroon's needs. Cameroon's government employs around 100 doctors each year for a population of around 28 million people, said Dr. Peter Louis Nadifor. He is the vice president of the Cameroon Medical Council, a doctor's association. The Canadian province of Nova Scotia, by comparison, has a population of under a million people. It recruited around 155 doctors last year, health officials say. The shortage of health workers is just part of Cameroon's current health crisis. More than 210 health centers closed because of destruction or abandonment during a conflict in the country's west, the United Nations says. The conflict has killed thousands of people over the past several years. Tumainta Kennedy is a Cameroon-based migration expert. He says Canada has become an attractive place because Canadian agencies target local doctors and nurses. Family ties overseas also play a part. Canadian government immigration programs like the Federal Skilled Worker Program or Express Entry are gaining in popularity. Cameroonians are among the top nationalities applying for Express Entry, the program's latest report found. I'm Dan Novak.
Greek officials recently announced the discovery of a 4,000-year-old stone building on the island of Crete. The historical find could block progress on a big airport project. Greece's culture ministry said recently that the structure is unlike any other from Crete's ancient Minoan civilization. The culture ministry described the find as extremely interesting. Crete's Minoan civilization is famous for its complex palaces, colorful art, and mysterious writing system. The whole structure is about 1,800 square meters in area. When seen from above, the structure looks like a big automobile wheel. Archaeologists found it during a recent dig. The structure is in an area chosen as the site for a new radar station. The radar station is to serve a new airport being built near the town of Castelli. The new airport is designed to serve up to 18 million travelers each year. Officials say it will open in 2027. Archaeologists continue to dig at the site and are studying the remains. They do not yet know what the hilltop structure was for. Experts say it could have a traditional or religious purpose. Surrounded by 8 stone walls as tall as 1.7 meters high, the inner structure is divided into smaller, connected spaces. The ministry's statement said the structure did not appear to have been a place where people lived. The finds from inside it include a large quantity of animal bones. The statement also said the size, design, and building quality required labor, specialized knowledge, and a strong central administration. The structure was likely a communal building that stood out in the entire area, officials said. Culture Minister Lina Mendoni promised that the find would be preserved while a different site would be found for the radar station. "We all understand the value and importance of cultural heritage," she said. "It's possible to go ahead with the airport," she said, "and protect the ancient objects as well." The ministry said the building was probably made around the time Crete's first palaces were being built, including at Knossos and Phaistos. Greece's rich cultural history often results in conflicts of interest during building projects. At the end of the last century, remains of an ancient hilltop settlement were dug up and then destroyed during building work for Athens International Airport. I'm John Russell.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
African elephants call each other by and answer to individual names, a new study finds. Such communication is rare in the animal world. African elephants are among the largest animals that live on land. The names are one part of the low sounds, or rumbles, elephants make. They can hear these sounds over long distances where they live in the savanna, large grassy areas of land mixed with woodlands. Scientists believe that animals with complex social structures may be more likely to use individual names. Stuart Pym of Duke University is an ecologist who was not involved with the study. He said, "If you're looking after a large family, you've got to be able to say, 'Hey, Virginia, get over here.'" It is extremely rare for animals to call each other by individual names. Humans have names, of course, and dogs and cats may react when their names are called. Some ocean animals, including the dolphin, invent their own names when they are very young. And the birds, called parrots, may also use names. Each of these naming animals also have the ability to learn and say individual new sounds throughout their lives, as does the African elephant, the research shows. The study was released in the publication Nature Ecology and Evolution. In the study, biologists used machine learning to find the use of names in recordings of savanna elephant sounds. The sounds were recorded at Kenya's Samburu National Reserve and Amboseli National Park. The researchers followed the elephants as they traveled to observe which one called out and which one appeared to answer. By examining only the audio data, the computer model predicted which elephant was being called 28% of the time, likely due to the inclusion of its name. When fed meaningless data, the model only correctly predicted 8% of calls. Biologist Mickey Pardo of Cornell University wrote the study. He said, "Just like humans, elephants use names, but probably don't use names in the majority of their communications. The low rumbles elephants make may also include sounds that are below the range of human hearing. The scientists still do not know which sounds make up a name." Researchers tested their results by playing recordings to individual elephants. The elephants reacted more energetically, moving their ears and lifting their trunks, to recordings that contained their names. Sometimes elephants did not react in any way to the sounds of elephant names other than their own. Ecologist George Wittemeyer of Colorado State University helped write the study. He also is a scientific advisor for the nonprofit Save the Elephants, which aims to protect the animal. He said, "Elephants are incredibly social, always talking and touching each other. This naming is probably one of the things that underpins their ability to communicate to individuals. Whittemeyer added, "We just cracked open the door a bit to the elephant mind." I'm Gregory Stockel.
International students in the United States are concerned that technology job reductions will make it hard to get a good return on their education. For the last 3 years, technology companies, including Amazon and Google, have greatly reduced their workforce. The tech layoffs tracker on Crunchbase.com says that 54,000 tech workers in the U.S. have lost jobs in 2024. That is in addition to nearly 300,000 in 2022 and 2023. As a result, international students are now competing for jobs against experienced workers, including native-born Americans and those who already have work permission in the U.S. Aniket Bhatt of India is one of those concerned students. He is studying business analytics at La Roche University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Bhatt also points to another concern, that thousands of Indian students currently studying in the U.S. will need to return to India if they cannot find a job. He wonders if the economy in India can support so many returning students. Based upon the most recent Open Doors report, there are 268,000 Indian students in the U.S., and a Reuters study in April showed serious concern about unemployment in India.
But will finish his business program at the end of 2024. Because his study program is within science, engineering, technology, and math, known as STEM, Bhatt hopes to train and work in the U.S. under the Optional Practical Training, or OPT, program. If Bhatt can find work, he can stay for 3 years after his study program ends. In recent years, the number of students under OPT has also dropped, although the number of international students in the U.S. is about the same as it was in 2019. Sarah Spreitzer is a vice president for government relations with the American Council on Education. She said, "We are missing about 20,000 OPT positions, despite the overall low unemployment in the U.S. Bhatt said, "There is intense competition for internships, work experience programs for students who are still in school, and OPT jobs." Bhatt said, "He hopes to get an OPT job and then find work with a company that will sponsor him for an H-1B visa for specially trained workers. Without a visa, he must return to India or find a job in another country."
Yes, yes. Obviously, there is some kind of competition in U.S. as well, but not as intense as India, obviously due to population reasons.
But international education experts like Spreitzer remind students that there is no official pathway for a student to remain in the U.S. after they complete OPT.
So we do not promise our students, we do not say to them, you know, come here, do your studies, you will get a job. Because that is not the purpose of their visa. And again, if they express that when they're talking to the consular officer, their visa will be denied.
A study from April 2020, produced by the Center for Security and Emerging Technology at Georgetown University, noted that most students pursuing advanced STEM degrees in the U.S. want to stay after finishing their studies. Jacob Feldgeus helped write the report. He pointed out that President Joe Biden, in his executive order covering artificial intelligence at the end of 2023, included the need to train and hold on to skilled workers who have expertise in critical areas to study, stay, and work in the United States.
A concern, Feldgoys noted, for students and workers who would like to see faster progress from the U.S. government on skilled worker permissions is that it's a patchwork of systems, and they're not fully aligned in a variety of ways. Although ACE centers its work on student concerns, it recently alerted U.S. government officials that some skilled students are choosing Canada and Great Britain for their studies because they have better work opportunities. And that hurts American universities, which have fewer students than in the past. Earlier this year, ACE urged the U.S. Department of Labor to make it easier for companies to hire skilled STEM workers. However, the number of new H-1B visas available for skilled workers is set at 85,000 yearly and unlikely to change. Just following the rules, such as not mentioning the intention to stay during the visa process and working hard in school, is not enough. Students have to be outstanding and even a little bit lucky. Megan Mancarian Stem knows many international students due to her past job as Director of International Student Enrollment at Creighton University in Nebraska. She feels sad for them when they cannot find a job that will permit them to get an H-1B visa.
It's a struggle for anybody to find a job right now.
Bott said he is starting to think that coming to the U.S. and following the rules was the wrong choice. If we were in 2011 or 2012, I would definitely suggest that my friends come over here, Bott said. But as we are in 2024, I think it doesn't make any sense, because already companies are outsourcing their work in Mexico, Vietnam, and India. I'm Dan Friedel.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
And now, words and their stories from VOA Learning English. Today, we talk about a physical action called ringing. That is ring beginning with a silent W. The dictionary publisher, Merriam-Webster, describes the verb ring as squeezing or twisting something, like clothing, to remove moisture or liquid. You can also ring someone to get more information. In the old days, people used a wringer to remove water from their clothing. With a wringer, you put clean but very wet fabric between two rollers and turn the handle to squeeze water out. Imagine if that was your hand instead of your clothes. Ouch! That would really hurt. And this gives us a common expression, to put through the wringer. When someone is put through the wringer, they face a very difficult or unpleasant experience. Now, let's hear the expression used in a conversation between two friends.
Hey, I heard you trained with Julia for your race. How did it go?
It was hard. Julia was really tough on me. She put me through the wringer, and I couldn't walk for days afterward.
For another example, let's say you are looking for a new job. The employer wants you to go through several weeks of difficult training and then pass a test at the end. You can say you were put through the wringer. However, when writing this expression, make sure that you write wringer with a W and not wringer that begins with an R. The two words sound alike, but are spelled differently and have completely different meanings. A ringer with a W is the device we talked about earlier, It's used to remove water from clothing and fabric. A ringer without a W is a person who enters a competition under false representations. The term ringer can also refer to someone or something that strongly resembles another. The verb ring with a W is also used to describe an action in which someone twists their hands together. They usually do this when they are nervous or worried about something. And that gives us another expression, hand-wringing. Merriam-Webster defines hand-wringing as an extreme expression of concern or guilt. The dictionary publisher noted a recent example written by Christopher L. Gasper on BostonGlobe.com on February 18, 2023.
For all the hand-wringing the NBA has done about players coming straight out of high school, the track record is good.
In other words, there is nothing to worry about having basketball players coming to the NBA straight out of high school. And that's all the time we have for this Words and Their Stories. Until next time, I'm Anna Mateo.
I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to the Learning English Podcast. You just heard Anna Mateo's Words and Their Stories. This week, Anna brought us an interesting word that is at the center of the story, and the word is ringer. Anna is here now to discuss it a little more. Welcome, Anna.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing well. This week, as of now, I have not been put through the ringer.
So it hasn't been too tough on you, correct?
That's right. I consider myself fortunate so far.
Yes, no one wants to be put through the ringer, that's for sure.
You're right, Anna. So can you tell our listeners again why the word ringer is difficult even for native English speakers?
Sure. The expression to be put through the ringer or to put someone through the ringer, we use the word ringer spelled with a silent W at the beginning. So it's spelled W-R-I-N-G-E-R. And for some native speakers, for people learning the language, they may write that expression using ringer just with an R because they sound the same. They are homophones.
I feel like people make a mistake with that word because they hear the word before they know how it's spelled. My sense is that I heard the phrase to be put through the ringer when I was young. I remember somebody saying it to me like I had been outside playing for a long time on a hot summer day, and I came inside sweaty or covered in dirt with messy hair after running up and down the neighborhood playing games, and I looked really tired. And so I feel like my mom or maybe a grandparent might have said, Dan, you look like you've been put through the ringer. Does that sound about right?
Yes. And your example, I'm laughing because your example is correct and funny. And also because the word ringer is an old-fashioned clothes washing machine. It's a device that you literally wring by force the water out of fabrics, clothing or bedding or any type of fabric. If you think of it that way, that makes sense, that the expression to be put through the ringer means to go through a difficult process. That ringing action could be very painful. It's very difficult.
Well, Anna, this was a fun conversation. Thanks for joining us today.
I had a wonderful time. Thanks, Dan, so much. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
That's all the time we have for today's show. But join us again tomorrow for another VOA Learning English program. Thanks for listening. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm